The book of Deuteronomy. It's such an imposing name. It kind of keeps people sometimes from reading, but it's really the story. It's a wonderful story, a long sermon by Moses. And if you can't remember Deuteronomy, you can do it like the Kerendu. The first five books of Moses are called Moses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Okay. You don't have to remember Leviticus. You don't have to remember Deuteronomy. It all works out very well. We're going to hear from Genesis 5 or Deuteronomy 26. This is a very important creed for the Jews and for the tradition. Yeah, that was Moses 5, not Genesis 5. Every year in Jerusalem at harvest time, there was a big celebration. It was called the Festival or the Feast of Weeks. Pilgrims to the city would bring their first harvest, the first cuttings of the barley, and they would come and they would bring it to the temple in baskets. This was done to thank God for the blessing of enough food. The grain was brought to a basket and they presented it to the priest. They were to say to the priest, "Long ago the Lord our God promised our ancestors that he would give us this land, and today we are here to give thanks for God's keeping that promise to us and a share in the land." The priest would take the basket and set it on the altar in the front of the temple. Those were the first cuttings of barley. 7 weeks later, there would be the completion of the wheat harvest. And this period of 7 weeks, the whole of it was thought to be sacred or holy, because it was a time when God was recognized as the source of that fertility of the soil and the rain and the sun. God was blessing and providing. It was also a time to remember that God had blessed and provided for the whole Hebrew people in their history. Standing in front of the temple, the pilgrims would continue to pray this prayer. "My ancestor was a wandering Aramean who took his family to Egypt to live. They were few in numbers when they went there, but they became a large and a powerful nation. The Egyptians treated us harshly and forced us to work as slaves. When we cried out to help for the Lord, our ancestors, he heard us and saw our suffering, our hardship, and our misery. By his great strength and power, he rescued us from Egypt. He worked miracles and wonders and caused terrifying things to happen. He brought us here and gave us this rich and fertile land. So now I bring to the Lord the first part of my harvest that he has given me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen." My seminary professor would repeat this passage often, my Old Testament professor, and say it was the farmer's creed. Okay. Baptists don't use creeds much. It's not that we don't have them, it's just that we don't subscribe to them the way that other groups do. A creed is a statement about what a person believes. A creed is a set of beliefs that guides a person's actions. This farmer's creed was recited every year at the harvest festival, and it reminded people that they were thankful not only for the good crops, but for the ways that God had been with them and provided for them throughout their history. Every year they verbally repeated their history with God in order that they not forget what God had done for them and that grace and protection that God had offered them. This creed identified who they were, where they were from, what they had experienced. It also described how they now understood their lives before God, how they understood their journey, who, where, what, and how. Because they did start out as a small group. Jacob's clan was a small group from Aram, which is north of Israel, hence the name Aramean, and they came down to Egypt. You remember Joseph and the Technicolor dream coat. And there they were, and they were honored guests at first because Joseph had brought them. But then the dictators or the pharaohs forgot the promises that were made to Jacob and to Joseph, and they became brutal dictators. And they enslaved the people, making them work. "We cried out to the Lord. The Lord heard our cries and saw our troubles. The Lord was powerfully rescuing them from Egypt with signs and wonders." This was not just a statement of beliefs. It was a statement of identity. It's because this becomes a personal story. And listen how even in the creed itself, it changes just slightly, but importantly. First, it starts out in the third person. He and they, our ancestor who took us to Egypt. They were few in numbers, but they became a large and powerful nation. But then listen carefully to this change. It changes from he and they to us and we. The Egyptians forced us to work as slaves. We cried to the Lord. The Lord heard our voice. As they said this creed aloud in the temple, bringing their harvest, they were part of the story. The past and present came together in that creed. And every year at the Harvest Festival, the message was repeated and reinforced. Who I am, where we came from, what I experienced, and how I understand myself and my relationship to God and my community was all in this statement. It's important to remember who we are. Every January and December, I look forward to the Karen New Year celebration. It's a big one because there's lots of food and there's speeches, long speeches, okay? And there are songs, there are dances. All of these things are done in order that people will remember 2,754 years ago when a wandering Mongolian found his way to Burma. That's what's celebrated there. When Karen people first came to Burma 2,754 years ago. And every year they are reminded of this story. And it is not a story of a people that were back there back then, but it is their story now. And it's important to be reminded of that, especially when nothing in your culture particularly does. It is part of who they are. And so I thought I'd put the two creeds together. The one that I would imagine that the Karen might say at the New Year celebration and the ancient Hebrew. And so I'm going to ask Saul to come again. Saul. Come here. Okay. Now, this is the first time on any stage, all right, that this has been done. Okay, a wandering Mongolian was my father. He went down into Burma and lived there. Few in numbers, he became a great nation. But the Burmans were cruel and had no pity on us. They mistreated our people and forced them to be slaves. We called out to you for help. You, O Lord of our ancestors. You knew our troubles. And with your mighty miracles, you rescued us from Burma. And you brought us here into this rich land. Whether we are Karen or Hebrew, or Swedish, or German, European, African American, or Native American, it's important for us to remember who we are, our identity, because it is who we have come from that determines so much of what happens now and into the future. There are more and more television shows, there are more shows on TV about this tracing your roots back. And now, especially with genetic testing, they can find out exactly what part of the world your ancestors are from. And you combine that with some of the historical records and old pictures. And some of these stories are very touching. Sometimes they'll have a celebrity come and they'll hand them a big book and there'll be writing and there'll be pictures and there'll be stories about their ancestors, sometimes a great-great-grandmother or great-grandfather or distant relative. And what happens in each time they open the book, it becomes emotional. because it is not a story about strangers. It is a story about their family, about who they are. And they didn't even know it until someone said, here you are. Here's your family. It is important to know your identity. It is important to make that connection. And it's always emotional. It's amazing. Years ago, our family, my mom and dad and two brothers, went to the country of Finland because that's where my grandfather was from. We went to the house that he was born in the 1800s. One of my father's cousins was showing us around. His English was pretty good. He gave us a tour of this old log house. And he stopped when he came to the window just above the kitchen sink, and he looked out in a little wistfully. And then he told us that when my grandfather was a young man, he was determined to come to America. But his mother didn't want him to leave, because he was the youngest son and she couldn't bear to have him gone too. But his mind was made up. And the reason that he was standing at this window was that he said, and the day that your grandfather left, she wouldn't even come to the window to look out on the road and see the horse-drawn wagon that was taking her youngest child away. That was a story. But in that moment, it became my story. And I was encouraged, and I'm given my identity by that brave man, young man, who was starting a new life in a place he didn't know, in a language that he would have to learn. I take courage for this grieving mother who wouldn't even watch him leave. My grandfather wandered. He was not a wandering Armenian, he was a wandering Finn. And he was all over because he was a logger in the winter and a fisherman in the summer, and he ended up along the shores of Lake Superior, and it was a hard life. He was fortunate to meet my grandmother, who was a school teacher and quite a catch. I mean, she was an educated woman in a place where the men outnumbered the women about 10 to 1. But my grandmother was a faithful woman. And when my grandfather died at a very young age of appendicitis, she had four young children to take care of up in the woods by herself. But she did. She had faith. In fact, my two aunts, her daughters, taught Sunday school for 60 years, over 60 years, 130 years altogether between the two of them. That was a lot of kids. And my Aunt Margaret would send cards to them, not only when they were in her class, but when they were adults. Sometimes she was sending birthday cards to students that she had that were now grandparents themselves. I learned, and I saw. I was part of that. That's my story. That's my identity. And I saw my parents' faith and their witness. And I couldn't do what I do today except that it was important to them that we go to a church that had a variety of people, a culturally diverse church. They didn't know it, but they were preparing me for my job. And that's where the past and the present become one. We need to know who we are, what we've experienced. We need to rehearse that from time to time. The Jews did at the Harvest Festival, to remind them about who they were. Last week I talked about the Apostle Paul, who said, I am who I am by the grace of God. Looking back at my parents' lives and my grandparents' lives, I give thanks to God for God's guidance and purpose and presence through all of it. And I'd like to add to the Apostle Paul, I would like to say, we are who we are by God's grace at work in us, in our lives, and in the lives of those who have gone before us. For we are not alone in this world. We have been preceded by others. We stand on the shoulders of others. This is the season of Lent. That's why we have the cross with the purple. There's 40 days, and 7 Sundays before Easter. We are preparing ourselves for this most important day in the church life, Jesus' resurrection. And we do it by examining ourselves. There are things we give up traditionally at Easter, during Lent, in preparation for Easter. We voluntarily give them up as we remember the passion and the suffering of Christ. I would invite you to remember and to reflect on your identity in Christ and take time in these 40 days and 7 Sundays to be reminded of who you are. The Jews reminded one another of who they were by this wonderful prayer in Deuteronomy 26. We need to remind one another of those things that are most important in our lives and celebrate them together. Who we are in Christ, where we have come, what has been our experiences. We need to remember God's presence in our lives and in the lives of those who have gone before us, and to be open to that continuing power and to that grace today. For the stories do become one. They become one in Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving God, we thank you. We thank you for the powerful reminders that keep us in your love, that remind us of your grace, that unite us with those who have gone before and inspire us as we step into the future that you intend for us. Help us to know that you have always been alongside us, and that there is never a time when your love has been further away than our next breath or the ends of our fingers or toes. Bless and keep us, and may we be aware of who we are and celebrate that identity that we now have in Christ, and Christ at work in our lives and in the work and in the lives of those who have gone before us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.